This is Game On. With your host, Seat Williams.
Game On!
Let's get lit. 3 o'clock standing tall. Thank Frog it's Friday. Seat Williams already's got the ones and twos. Back at you closing out, huh? Yeah. Nice holidays. And we got you for something. A little Christmas something we'll put in a packet. All right, plenty to get to. Coming up, George Coles at the bottom of the hour. Aliante Kennery North, he's going to break down week 15 in the NFL. We'll talk about some NBA, college basketball, and also the NHL. How about that game last night? We'll get into that with the G-Knights getting busy again. Following us, this open, probably about 10 after, 15 after, we'll light it up with a little dope. And then that final go-round will give you a pair of tickets to the Rebels, Mississippi Valley State, coming up Wednesday as they start to chime in on what's going to happen December 30th, opening day, in the Mountain West against Boise State. Ari, how are you, brother?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing well, doing well.
Glad to be here on a Friday.
Yep, football game last night. Also, was watching that over at High Scores. And then the G-Knights. And you know, it's funny. I was talking to Clayton, who does the hockey show on Fox Sports Radio 1340, 98.9 FM. He said the way the Golden Knights can win this game, and the only way they can win this game, is they have to get out fast, they have to get out early, and they have to score first. They have to score first, he said. And they did. They scored first. They scored early, and then the Pens tied it up. And I kind of got lost because I'm watching the football game. I'm hosting a football party over there at High Score. So there were plenty of people on the other side of the bar. It was all hockey. And on the side I was on, it was a mixture. So a nice night. And in the end, the G-Knights got the victory. It was John Morrell's goal to put it on ice.
Face off one near side. Vegas clears it. There's no icing. This one is over. Marc-Andre Fleury wins this first matchup against the Penguins. Vegas defeats Pittsburgh 2-1.
Vegas at center. Here comes Erik Haulin. Deals it right side. Neal throws it back to the left behind Perron. Out to the right side. Miller in the slot. He shoots. Knocked down. Rebound. Score! James Neal! It's 1-0 Vegas.
That was on Fox Sports Radio 1340. Neal with the first goal of the game. Very competitive game. I understand it was 50-50 down the middle. The place was packed, ice cold as usual, but as many Penn fans as they were Golden Knight fans.
Absolutely. The second goal that they scored, or the first goal that Pittsburgh
their
scored.
Goal. Right.
Man, it was. I was looking away, and I looked over at Frank, who was listening, and I gave him that look like, oh, we scored again, yes. And he said, no, that was actually Pittsburgh. It was equally as loud, which is pretty crazy. The colors are similar too. So it was a sea of Pittsburgh fans. It was a great crowd though. It was packed. I didn't get a number, but I feel like it was sold out. I heard the tickets were way higher than usual.
So 2-1, your final score. The Vegas Golden Knights with the victory. They're 29-2. And the Penguins go to 16-14-3 now. 29-2. Okay, so they're winning 2/3 of their games. We're a quarter of the way through the season. Okay, I'm not going to say by any means I don't think they're going to win 65 to 70% of their games the whole year. But imagine if they did. Okay, this is an expansion team. They didn't exist. All right, it's unlike what we're getting here in the WNBA with the Aces. They're coming from San Antonio. Okay, so we're going to have a team that's moving, that's relocating. NBA team that we get will probably be relocating. The Raiders are relocating. This team did not exist. They weren't here, all right? They were put together and assembled in about a year and a half, 2 years. And then you had the draft, and now you have a team winning 2/3 of their games a quarter of the way through the season. That's pretty crazy. Actually, it's past a quarter of the way. We're talking 32 games. So, no, that's about, what, 3/5 of the way through the or 2/5 of the way.
Over a third, definitely.
Yeah, 2/5.
There you go.
Yeah, or a third. So, they play 84 games, I believe?
82.
82 games. Mm-hmm. This is pretty impressive for them to get out to a start like that.
I think they could lose the rest of the games and people would still be
oh, the fanfare
surprised,
is great. And to me, I always believe that the other team, the opponent, would have a lot to do with the turnstile and how many people were coming to the game. And it does. True. Because you don't have to be from out of town to come and root for the St. Louis Blues or the San Jose Sharks. You could be a fan that's planted here, or you could have grown up a fan in Vegas, and, you know, that was your team. Hockey is hockey. It's entirely different from all the other sports because you're on skates, you're not on your feet. But at the same time, there's a lot of fans, and the sport is growing in this city. I'm not going to say it's taken off all over the country because that's not the case. But in this city, it's growing because we have a team and we have a franchise that is winning. And winning in this town, we're very fickle fans. You saw what happened with the Rebels last year. Okay, the Rebels, it was not Marvin Menzies' fault, but the fans didn't show up. The student body stopped showing up because the team was awful. Well, the team has rebounded, and not everyone has gotten the memo. But for those that have, they've enjoyed watching this Rebel team play. And that's our city. Our city is, we're fickle. We are. And we have a base of fans for every team that's in any professional major league. We have fans here for it. Okay? I mean, you could dig up fans on just about any team and be surprised. In the NFL, I guarantee you there's a fan base. There's not always a fan club. Even the Cleveland Browns, they have a fan club here.
In this building, let alone.
We in got this building.
There's more Browns fans in this building than that I expected anywhere, which
How
is
many?
Two.
Okay.
Two, but really, they're diehard. Gooch and Sparks, both from Compton.
Well, they're from Cleveland.
It's funny to me.
Ohio.
I'm just saying, they're still losing really bad all the time. So, you know, we got some Lions fans in here, too. So, yeah, it's definitely.
Yeah, well, watching that game, and congratulations to the Vegas Golden Knights now. That's impressive. They're 2-1. That victory and they're 29-2 overall. Now the football game. Also watching that game, the Broncos and the Colts, and kind of a competitive game, but a snoozer because it really had no impact. You just wanted to see what Brissett could do. Excuse me, the backup to Andrew Luck, and when he gets back, Simeon goes down with a cracked shoulder. What do you do? I mean, you're in a situation now where I'm telling you, John Elway. You need to fix it fast. You know, you need to come in the draft. There's about four to six. There's four really good quarterbacks coming out of college. You got to get one of them. And I don't care what you do with the three you have, but you got to have a quarterback, man. If you can't find a quarterback that can get you victories, you are going to have problems in this league. It's always been that way. There's certain times you can win on defense, but you can't win on defense and build a dynasty and maintain it. Because eventually, you're going to lose some of those players, whether it be to injury, whether it be to free agency. Think about all the times a Super Bowl-winning team then has, it's not a fire sale, players, though, that are free agents, they want more money. Now it's time to cash in, okay? The team that just won the Super Bowl, they're not going to pay you again, especially if you're a veteran. If you're a veteran and you've been in the league for 6 to 8 to 10 years and you just won the Super Bowl, okay, they'll cut you and pay you less if you want to come back, or they'll just say bye to you if you want to be a free agent, if your contract's done. And that's just the way business is run in the NFL, and it's understandable because you're looking at a roster of 53-plus, then you got the practice squad. You got three teams, 11, 11, 11 across the board. I mean, it's you only have so much food to pass around in the lion's cage, right? And not all of that food is prime meat. So the ones up front are going to get the prime meat. The others are going to get the scraps. If you're on a Super Bowl team, how important is it to be on that team and get the scraps the next year? Or do you want to move on and get paid big time? So that's what happens to Super Bowl teams. Seattle kind of stayed together, but now we see the injuries breaking down the Seahawks, and their defense has always been their staple. But their defensive secondary is torn apart, but they still, because they have a quarterback in Russell Wilson who is, I'm sorry, he's got to be at least in the conversation with the three. And Carson Wentz, it's unfortunate. Tom Brady and Russell Wilson, to me, are the front runners right now as far as MVP. Because Wentz, to me, would have gotten it. But I think Brady probably will now. But Russell Wilson, he could pull the rabbit out of his hat. And if Brady loses to Pittsburgh this weekend and Seattle wins on, and makes the playoff, Russell Wilson might end up being your MVP, but he has really carried that team to the point that his shoulders have to be extremely tired. And that's sports. I mean, that's the way it is. You have to, when you have a salary cap, you have to balance what you can do and what you can have. Your depth chart may not be as strong as the others because you're paying so much up front to your stars. But if you can get guys to buy in, like a Tom Brady, like Peyton Manning and other quarterbacks have done, which is take a pay cut so we can sign this guy. And see, that's the thing a lot of people don't talk about when it comes to Tom Terrific, is the fact that he sacrificed money to get additional running backs or maybe an offensive lineman so they can put up the W's. That's the winner in Tom Brady. Okay, when you start giving up some of your salary so you can be better and win, then you're totally all in. How many guys will do that? You know, if I'm a football player, I'm sorry, I'm getting mine, I'm getting out. Obviously, wouldn't be a quarterback. If I were a safety or whatever, a receiver, I would get my money and go. And with the CTEs and everything else, I don't want to be around that long anymore. Tom Brady, 40 years of age and still moving, and takes care of his body, has the perfect diet, the perfect household, I believe, perfect wife. And so everything else he's doing is perfect. In the perfect system with Belichick, and all the parts are there. Remember that defense was last in the league, set records for multiple 300-yard passing games against their defense? This is the same team that right now is one of the top defensive teams in the league. And they're playing Pittsburgh this weekend, which is one of our star-studded games. And when we get down to George Cole, we'll talk more about that. But, man, what a weekend coming up here in Week 15 in the NFL. By the way, that was our last Thursday night football game, for those that didn't get the memo. So no more Thursday night, but you've got Saturday games, and I love that. Because, see, and that's the other thing. The NFL doesn't do everything right. And the schedulers, you may not like Thursday night football, but they understand that we love football. We love football on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and some of us on Thursday. Well, guess what? There hasn't been any Saturday football because college football is waiting for the bowl games to start this weekend, right? Well, the big ones start in 2 weeks. Well, guess what? The NFL, over the years, they've taken that vacancy and they put their games on Saturday. Nothing like watching this Kansas City Charger game this weekend. That's huge. And then next weekend, you've got the Eagles and Vikings on Saturday. That's good scheduling. Of course, you didn't know that before the season. You didn't know that you were going to come down to Week 15 and the winner of the LA Chargers and Kansas City Chiefs would be 8-6 and in first place in the AFC West, or that Minnesota would end up with Chase Keenum at quarterback, be playing a missing Carson Wentz due to an injury, and both teams will be buying for who's going to have the first top seed over there in the NFC. That's how tight things are, but the schedule makers got it right. Lucky or not, they got it right, and that's what matters. So looking forward to the weekend of football. We'll jump on that. George Cole's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We're going to step away when we get back, and keep in mind also, we got the Rebel tickets we're giving away. I'll tell you more about the toy drive. Lighters up. Dope is next.
Man, I've been saving for a special occasion.
Looks like a quarter pounder, man. Led Zeppelin.
Hey, be careful with that, man.
Is it heavy stuff, man? Will it blow me away?
It's time now for, man, that show is dope.
3:20 in the valley. Lighters up. Pass it. Okay. Tired of you taking my stuff, man. You ever had your stuff taken?
Are you kidding me? I work in a job, so yeah.
We've all had our stuff taken, man. That's the worst feeling, dude. Look, we're talking about just personal things. So when a person's body is violated, you can imagine how that makes a person feel, whether it's a man, a male, or a female. Mm-hmm. Well, this dude up in Washington got sick of people taking his packages off his porch. So he came up with this genius device to catch pesky thieves who tried to steal his packages. Jeremy Barrow from Tacoma, Washington, said enough of this crap already. So he put together this part. Basically, he became Rambo. He created one of the earliest model traps using a 12-gauge shotgun blanks, a fishing line, bricks, a wooden box like a small box aluminum carry vessel for the blanks, a small plate, and a card box, and it was filmed. Okay, so you can see what it did to these guys that tried to take the stuff off his porch. Okay, you try to get the box, and you got to see the video. Guy comes up, he tries to pick up the box, and it blows up a blank. The guy's falling all over the wall. He's in the backyard just crawling. And you're looking at this over and over again. Earlier, before, a woman can be heard screaming. She was frightened. She tried to take the box. So this he keeps putting the boxes back out there. And they keep coming. And he just keeps blowing them up. Now, remember, these are blanks. But it's going to scare the poop out of you, right? And these thieves are starting to get the mess out. Don't go there. And you're wondering, where'd the bullet go? Now, a blank is really still a shot. Okay, it's a round.
You see like a spark, I think.
Yeah, right? you see the spark. And these dudes are like just, boy. He says for roughly $50 to $70, people can get their own safety boxes and replace with extra blanks for an additional $2.99. He even sells T-shirts that say, "Don't touch my box," quote unquote.
But good.
No worries. His products offer free shipping. So he's actually got a trademark where you can buy these blanks and you can blow people up. I want some of this, man.
This is awesome.
This right here is about as dope as you can get.
You know?
Don't steal my stuff, man. I don't want you taking my stuff anymore. So I'm going to put a blank out there. And I'm going to bang, bang, bang you, baby. That's pretty damn dope.
Pretty damn dope. Yes. I like that a lot.
You're doper than that one, dude.
You really can't. And the best part is no one's harmed at all. Like, you just get the crap scared out of you. Deservedly so.
Oh, you got to get some new undies.
I'm thinking of something way more low-key, like, you know, when someone steals your sandwich or something. Like, I got a piece of pizza in the break room right now that I'm kind of a little worried about.
And you left it in there?
Yeah.
You still going to eat it?
It's Friday. I think most of the scavenger people probably left for the day, so I guess we'll find out.
Or somebody
my point
could.
Is, I wish I had some some gunshot blanks that I could have set up for my pizza.
I like you.
You know, it sure beats like "don't touch, please." So
nice.
That is really dope, and that's actually pretty cool too that he came up with a product. That's the coolest products to me, or you know, inventions I should say, are when it's something that you went through specifically. You experienced something and you had to find a way to solve that problem, and the outcome was
right.
Like a lot of parents, they'll invent these cool things just because they were having such a hard time with the kid trying to figure out. I watch a lot of Shark Tank, so very dope. You're a Tupac fan, I would hope.
Tupac was dope, man.
Yeah,
25 years too young.
Oh man, yeah. But you know, he still stays in the news somehow. According to a new report, the gun used to kill Tupac in 1996, the drive-by shooting. It, of course, my paper's cut off. But basically, an unidentified man in Compton, California, found the 40 caliber Glock, like, mysteriously. I guess he found it, you know, 19 years later, apparently. What I'm trying to find out, and they're still trying to find out, is if he had any deal with that as far as, like, keeping it, or if he really just didn't know it was on his property. But there was there's a lot of details in the case. They don't have a clue where the gun came from. The records show that the firearm was booked, and then 2 years later, I guess the sheriff's department took over, and there was for some reason it got dismissed, or it got, you know, whatever the technical term is. That gun didn't make it into evidence, apparently. So now there's ballistics being tested. It revealed a match between the Glock and the weapon that was used. So, you know, we'll see what happens. It's still early, and there's so many things, and it's such an old case, and there's so many rumors, and, you know, like he's still alive and all that. So, but I think it's really dope that they're still trying to actually figure it out. I pretty much have just, a lot of those murders, I mean, they just, I pretty much figured they'd never figure it out. They might not, but it's a good start. I think there's a lot of corruption, too. There might be some fishy stuff going on in the LAPD with that. So that's why a gun pops out of nowhere.
Remember, that happened here. So
that, yeah.
I was there that night.
Yeah.
That was Bruce Seldon and Mike Tyson over at the MGM Grand. And this happened right off of Flamingo by Covo Lane. So headed to a party at a nightclub, and somebody pulls up next to him. And, you know, Big Shig is in there, and boom. He got grazed, and Tupac got hit and got put away. I think there's a lot of people that probably know what happened and who it was. Some type of rival gang member that Tupac beat down in the hotel earlier that day, as the information from the documentaries. But the gun itself, I don't know how much the value would be on that or what they're going to do with it for evidence and how it ended up where it is. But guns are just like people. Guns have a jacket. They have, you know, swag and everything else. I mean, guns kill people. People pull the trigger to use them, though. So I don't know. That gun probably does have some value in the market.
Yeah. I would hope that there's some kind of evidence that would help, you know, figure this out. Yeah, because nobody's going to talk, especially this many years down the road.
I think they know already.
Yeah,
I do.
I think
they know who did the killing. If you saw the documentary, you saw that person that got beat down. I can't remember his name.
I can't either.
But he was from L.A.
And he had, Tupac had a lot of, not only did he have a lot of enemies, but he also was, he was the biggest thing at that moment. Hip-hop was such a huge thing. That was at its pinnacle. And that's not, I don't mean opinion-wise with the style of music. I just mean, I guess, the magnitude of pop culture. It was, Tupac was everything. So when you're that high up and powerful almost, you know, you have a, you make a lot of enemies too. So there's a lot to it. Who knows? So hopefully, hopefully I'll have another dope segment eventually where I'll, you know, have some better news, some more news to follow up.
RIP for Tupac Shakur. All right. Ronda Rousey, WWE getting pretty close. Now TMZ caught up with Rousey. Of course, she's got the movie coming up with Mark Wahlberg, which is Mile 22. Other irons in the fire. She's doing quite a few things. You know what? I actually like Ronda Rousey more today than I did when she was a fighter in the octagon. A lot of people will say, what? Yeah, because now she's kind of grounded. She was off the rails. She was awesome in the octagon when she was all that. But once she got hit in the face and got her face broke, things changed from that point, and she got humbled. I kind of like her now, and I'm rooting for her to be a star in WWE. It's pretty safe for her there. And you know me, I believe everyone has the right to employment, and if you want to fight, male or female, great. I just don't like to see women get beat up. And a woman beating up another woman is still a woman getting beat up. And I know it's in a cage, but so Ronda Rousey inside WWE, where everything is pretty much, I think, a bit safer because you kind of know what's going to happen unless something goes wrong in the ring. I think it's pretty dope for her to be in WWE. I like her more there. You might feel differently.
No, I agree. I saw her in a movie, and I cannot remember. Maybe you can help me. She was in action. It was typical. It was like, she was like the big, rough girl, whatever, and she fought.
What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say that she's, you know, a fighter, and they casted her for that role because she is who she is.
Big and rough?
It was one of her. Well, I don't know. You want to find out? See?
Nah, I mess with her.
My point was the transition. I think WWE is the perfect place for her. Whatever the movie was, I just cannot remember. It was like a real action scene. They weren't. It wasn't a gimmick. She was like, you know, security or something. And she's beating the choreographed fight scene, whatever you want to call it. It was really good. I thought her acting wasn't amazing, but the point is it translates pretty good. And I think for the WWE, being that the acting doesn't have to be, we're not talking about a movie, you know, and you're using your physical prowess and kind of your character. That's perfect for her. That's exactly what she did in the UFC, only it was real fights. So I agree 100%. Yeah, I'm in agreement.
All right. You got one more? I got one more.
Go ahead. I'll save this one.
All right. This is up in Anchorage, Alaska. The airport there. Scott Babick was wrapping up early that morning in the runway, the inspection. America's furthest north airport, as you know. And what he thought he saw was a couple of wolves on the runway. So he took a closer look in his headlights yesterday and saw something bigger and badder. Two young polar bears ran away from the Alaska airport when the truck approached. Okay, now you think about it. There may be some birds, pigeons, or whatever. And you don't want to see them if you're getting on an airplane because they get caught in your engine and you dead.
Mm-hmm.
But you got these bears scrapping. They've seen deer on the runway. You name it, it's there. A bearded seal estimated to weigh 450 pounds. Plucked itself in the runway back in October after a storm, okay? So if you're a pilot or if you're living in Alaska and you got to travel by air, I mean, the safety is not, I mean, the disaster of your safety is not the pilot. It's the animals that could be hanging around where you're landing, where you're taking off. Look, you'll be startled, a pilot landing. Right? Or no, taking off, even worse. And you see a seal and you can't get out the way and there's snow on the runway. Oh. You're going to skid and you ain't going to make it. Yeah. So I just think it's a place I want to visit someday. But, man, that means I got to fly in there, don't I?
Ooh.
Alaska's pretty dope, though.
Alaska's.
It's the wild, man.
Crazy. Yeah.
The last
yeah.
of the wild, wild west, buddy.
Man, it's crazy out there. I've never been, but I've heard a lot of stories. Maybe on the runway next time they should have the guy from your first segment put that on there and maybe scare him away. It's actually seen.
You might scare the pilot
all the airlines. It might scare the passengers just a tiny bit.
Oh man! All right,
there you go.
We're gonna step away. George Cole is next. Ariante Kennery North. Week 15, the NFL. Everything else in sports here on Game On.
Now back to Game On, Seat Williams.
336 in the Valley. Going out to our good friend George Cole at Aliante, Kennery North. George, how are you? Happy holidays, my friend.
Hey, happy holidays to you, Seat. How you doing?
Doing great, doing great. You've got a... Well, before we get into the sports side of things, what kind of activities, what type of concerts, things of that nature? Aliante's great for jazz and other rock and roll concerts. What you got coming up now and through January?
Well, we had Christmas with the Carpenters last week, and we have a bunch of different all kinds of entertainment for New Year's Eve, and we're doing, you know, Thursday night. You know, we have Sun City. They come over and do some of the sock hops. New Year's Eve, we have Rhythm Nation. We have an All for One Christmas this weekend. So, yeah, there's always good shows, a beautiful beautiful showroom up here, which you know. Since
yeah,
you've been up here.
Najee's coming back, the jazz saxophonist, huh, in January?
Yes, he is. If you'd like to go, just let me know, and I'll make sure we work that out.
Oh, you're Santa, baby. All right. That's George Cole. Let's get you now into Week 15. And before we jump into the games coming up Saturday, I love the Saturday setup because even though you have the Bowls coming underway, you've got a game that really matters in that late game coming up, which we'll get to in the Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs. But last night, kind of competitive. You had a chance to kind of see two teams that have struggled, a team that's a year removed from the Super Bowl in the Denver Broncos, and the Colts, a team that is losing without their star quarterback. Brissett, I thought, had some moments. But in the end, we saw two teams struggling that I think next year are going to improve in the Broncos and the Colts.
Yeah, it was, you know, who would have thought that Brock Osweiler was going to come out like that? He played probably, I mean, definitely his best game that he's played for quite a long time. His QB rating last night was through the roof. But, yeah, I mean, it looked like the Colts had him, you know, going into the half, like they were handling pretty good. Broncos couldn't really do much, but they came out a different team in the second half. And, you know, after steamrolling the Jets last weekend, maybe the Broncos are starting to get it back on track a little bit.
We'll see what happens there. Of course, coming up tomorrow, you've got the 1:30 game, the Bears and Detroit. We'll let you get the numbers on that. Then the most important game at 5:25, the Chargers at Kansas City. Numbers on that and which way the public and the Sharps are going?
Right now, the Sharps were all over the Bears. We opened at -6. That's down to 4.5. The public is, you know, they're parlaying the Lions, but, you know, that's typical, you know, the Lions and the overs. But the Bears are getting all the sharp support. It looks like on the other game, the later game, the Chargers had opened up minus one. That's actually flipped. We have the Chiefs minus one right now. The total jumped from 45.5 up to 46.5. Kind of two-way action coming on. And it looks like, believe it or not, we have a difference of about 50 tickets on the ticket count in that game. So it's very closely bet.
That's pretty good. That'll be very competitive as well. Then Sunday, we've got games. The Eagles will bounce back. We'll see what happens with Foles starting against Eli in that Eagles-Giants game. Packers-Carolina, very important game. Is there a number up on that game now and exactly where it is and which way it's working?
Yeah, we opened at we're at minus three even right now. It opened at minus three, so it looks like we took a little bit of Packer bets to begin with. The total on that game is 47.
Aaron Rodgers' return. You know, it's crazy because I guess early on, before we weren't confirmed that Rodgers was going to be back, was there a significant change in where the number was and when the announcement, did it move at all?
Yeah, you know, like I said, we never put it up until we were sure what it was. But I had heard it around town that it moved several points.
Games in the middle, that's the Bengals, Minnesota, Miami, Buffalo, Houston, Jacksonville. Jacksonville, of course, needs a win here. They can still win that division against the Titans, the Jets, Saints, Arizona, Washington. And then, of course, Baltimore and Cleveland. Cleveland, what's the number on that game? All year, the Sharps have been getting beat on this. Is this the week they can rise and get a win against the Ravens?
Man, do they find weird ways to lose. It's just unbelievable what these guys do. That game right now is the Ravens minus seven. It opened up at 7.5. And, yes, we have some sharp money on the Browns.
I don't – why do the Sharps keep playing this? I mean, they're 0-14 right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a good, you know, it usually always starts out at least a good number to bet. They're usually a 7.5 or something like that, or 10.5 or 14.5. So it's always usually an attractive number to kind of get some money in. And, you know, I mean, there's been plenty of games they've been in it. It's just they somehow figure out how to lose at the end of the game.
Hey, George, did you have a prop up at the beginning of the year or middle of the year where the Browns be winless?
No, we hadn't put that up.
Okay. All right, let's jump on I rolled through those middle games, and I apologize if folks out there were looking for those numbers, but we do have other sports to get to. So we're going to the big hitters. Rams and Seattle, the rematch. Low-scoring affair the first time around in the Coliseum. Seattle won that ball game, a game that went under. Here the Seahawks, I believe, are still a slight favorite. What's the total and which way is it working?
Seahawks had opened up minus one. They've jumped 1.5, are now minus 2.5. We are taking action kind of both ways. Looks like the Sharps are back in the Rams. Public's coming in a little bit more on the Seahawks. The total in that game is 47.5. That's down 0.5 from 48.
New England and the Steelers, another giant game. This one here is colossal. And New England, if they get the victory, they pretty much seal themselves as number one. Steelers, on the other hand, they just can't beat this team. It's a franchise versus a franchise where one has dominated the other. What is the public saying, and what are the Sharps saying about this game and the numbers?
Right now, it hasn't really moved much. We opened at minus three. We're now minus three even on that game. And the total is 54. I believe it opened right at 54. We're kind of taking two-way action on that game as well.
All right, college football coming up. We've got the Vegas Bowl and a couple other bowl games this weekend. Actually, before we move out, let me give you one more, Dallas and Oakland.
Dallas and Oakland, Cowboys, Oakland minus three. They're minus three, minus 115. That game, we're heavy on the parlays on the Cowboys, but pretty evenly bet on the money on that game.
College football bowl games coming up tomorrow. The Vegas Bowl, Boise State, Oregon. There's a game before that. And then, of course, you have the lower division game, playoffs. What do you have on those game, and who likely are the big favorites that have won before?
The only game we put up for that right now is we do have the North Dakota State, Sam Houston State game. North Dakota State's minus 23. The total on that's 70. And we're taking all the bets are coming in on North Dakota State in that game. And then, like you said, going back to the Oregon-Boise State game, Oregon had opened 7.5. I think when we spoke last week, it was 7. We're down to 6.5. I'm not sure. I believe the running back from Oregon announced this week he's not going to play. That might have dropped it a little bit more as well.
Ooh. No surprise, though. We expect stuff like that to take place, right? Whether a guy's looking out for his career. And when you think about it, I think you said this last year to us, too, George. You said you're going to see more of that. You saw a couple of players, Fournette, and a couple of other players decided last year. Fournette was injured, but people were wondering, could he still have played for LSU last year in that bowl game? He decided not to play, or he couldn't play. Nevertheless, the precedent is set now. How many players, star players, more so running backs, I guess, than quarterbacks, will now decide, unless we're in a championship run, why play in the bowl game?
No, I think you just hit it on the head. If it's not going to be one of the playoff games, I don't think, you know, you're going to see more and more people start to do it. I mean, I'm kind of surprised it didn't start earlier. I'll never forget that, you know, with McGahee from Miami years ago. And, you know, it's rolling the dice, you know, and when millions and millions of dollars are involved and these kids haven't gotten paid yet, it doesn't surprise me. I think it's a shame, but it doesn't surprise me.
Well, and then you also have like the Senior Bowl where you have a chance to enhance your status in the draft if you go out there, because you're going to have NFL coaches and scouts out there watching you for that, personally on the field handling you to see how well you can follow directions on what they're doing. But I think you're probably going to see more players even avoid that game, because that's also a potential injury thing. In the end, you're playing a collision sport. I mean, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah, you're going to see, you know, like I said, where those, you know, games will be those guys that are fighting to get into the first round, something like that. But if you're going to be a top 10 pick, like I said, it's a tough roll of the dice.
All right, let's go to the association tonight, look at some of the games, key matchup. Detroit playing much better. We saw Indiana get their win against Cleveland earlier. They're playing much better, too. I'll let you roll from there, some of the games coming up tonight on the hardwood.
Right now, we got the 4 o'clock, a bunch of games starting. The Pacers had opened 4.5. They're now at 5, hosting the Pistons. The Hornets are -5, right where it opened, hosting the Heat. Wizards -9.5, that's up from 9, hosting the Clippers. Blazers are 4.5 on the road at the Magic. That game had opened 3.5. I think one of our big ESPN games, we got the Thunder 76ers. 76ers are a 2-point favorite. That jumped from 1.5 to 2. Jazz at the Celtics. Celtics are -5.5. That had opened at 6. Nets at the Raptors. Raptors are -12. That jumped up from 11. We got the Bulls and the Bucks. The Bucks are now -9. That's from 8.5. Hawks and the Grizzlies. Grizzlies are -6, right where it opened. Pelicans, Nuggets. Nuggets -1.5. That jumped up a half a point. And finally, on the late night game, the Spurs against the Red Hot Rockets. The Rockets are up to 8.5 from 7.5 opener.
College basketball. Let's go to the hardwoods right now. The Rebels, of course, they're playing as well coming up. But tell us some of the other games. Looks like Louisville gets Memphis, Georgetown, Syracuse, some other matchups coming up tonight.
Tonight, it looks like we don't have much, actually, on the court tonight. I think you might be
Tomorrow, I beg your pardon.
Tomorrow's games, which we will probably put up within a couple hours. Tonight, there's just a couple extra board games. We've got Dartmouth and Illinois, Chicago. That had opened 7.5. Illinois Chicago is -6.5. UC Davis at San Francisco, that had opened at -6. They're down to -3.5. South Dakota State, Colorado. Colorado had opened 3. That's up to 5. Denver, Stanford, that's up from 11. Stanford's now a 12.5 point favorite. And finally, Maryland Eastern Shore, Creighton. Creighton had opened 34. That's up to 37. I mean, that's the one interesting thing from a bettor's perspective. You know, none of these games, you know, are very popular games, but you can see all of them are 2-3 point jumps because the sharps, they bet these games.
And you know, they look to find a conference that they can corner. Maybe not one of your majors, And that's where they'd be making a splash, right?
Like in college football, it's the MAC and stuff like that. Some of those games that are played on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And like I said, yeah, every one of those games was a 2-3 point move up to a 4 point move. You don't see that on the, you know, the Duke-Kentucky games and stuff like that.
George, hockey 5 games. I'll let you go over a couple of matchups there. You've got the East and the West in the Kings and the Rangers.
Kings are now a minus 105. Rangers minus 115, excuse me. That had dropped from minus 120. Then we got the Stars and the Devils. The Stars had opened 150. It's sitting right where it opened. Hurricanes are now 165, up from 155 at the Sabres. We got the Red Wings minus 115. That's a game that totally flipped. The Maple Leafs had opened minus 135. All the money coming in on the Red Wings. And then finally we got the Sharks and the Canucks, and Sharks minus 140. And I'm gearing up tomorrow to go to my first Golden Knights game, which I'm looking forward to.
That should be a lot of fun, huh? Nice win last night.
Yeah, big one against, you know, it sounded like it was almost a home game for Pittsburgh. They came out and represented from what I was, you know, reading on Twitter and following the game, but the Golden Knights got her done.
And that, you know what, I have no problem with the fanfare for the other team, because if you're going to pack the T-Mobile, then pack the T-Mobile and watch what happens to your team, okay? Because these guys can play.
I'll tell you what, they need to, I mean, I know we have the Panthers tomorrow, but if you schedule all the cold weather teams at this time of year, they're going to be packed all the time. And I think that's going to go the same in the Raiders games. You know, everybody, you know, I talked to my family back in New Jersey. It's 20 degrees right now. I mean, we're out here walking around in shorts and flip-flops. It's been so beautiful the last couple of days.
Nice stuff. Let the folks know where they can reach everything over there at Aliante and Kennery North.
You can always find me at, or you can find us at BeConnectedSports.com. It's our free mobile app. It has all of our up-to-date odds, everything we have to offer. When you're comfortable with the app, come on in and open up your account. It takes a few minutes. You can be betting actually both horses and sports right on your phone.
Always a pleasure, George. You have a good weekend, my friend.
All right, you too. I guess we'll get back together after the new year, but I'll give you a call before then. We'll try to set you up with some Najee.
Thank you, George.
All right, my man.
All right, brother. George Cole gets it done, does a good job every time. Aliante Kennery North. Been doing it for a while, and he keeps it well. Just like to remind you before I go to a break and come back for the final giveaway, the 4th annual Toys for Hope Toy Drive, which I'll be in a mobile home beginning Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, the 19th and 20th. I'll be in there right in front of Truly Nolan Pest Control, 6000 Southeastern across from the airport. You've got Walmart, Del Taco right across the street. Patrick Lane is across the street at Eastern. Come check me out. I'll be in there for approximately 60 straight hours. Bring toys for the Nevada Childhood Cancer Foundation, 4th annual, sponsored also by Finley Acura, my good friend Kevin Hicks, and Sudden Impact. So come check us out. Drop toys off. That's beginning Tuesday. I'll be doing cut-ins, and Brian Feldman will be subbing for me on those 2 days. All right, we'll step away. We'll come back. Final go-round next. .354 in the Valley, final go-round brought to you by Reliable Banner at ReliableBanner.com. Let's do the Rebel giveaway right here. Caller number 5. Friday. Make it easy on you.
I like that. It's a nice, respectable number.
702-365-9200. 702-365-9200. You've got the Rebel tickets next Wednesday against Mississippi Valley State. I want to say thanks to our good friend George Cole, Aliante Kennery North. Also for Ari, he's got the ones and twos. I'm Seat Williams. Folk, Ken Suck Logar, it's a pie. We'll see you on the radio. More of the show next week. NBC Sports Radio 920, The Game. Game on. Game over.